Oh my gosh. Okay, let me just down the rest of this wine really quick.
Who's editing this week?
I think about me.
Good luck to you.
Wow, you really did down it.
I had to because I've got to move on to this other day.
You couldn't have started the gin and tonic while we were doing the podcast. That would have been crazy.
No, I wouldn't be able to transition that way. No. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And it was PPV week. One of our favorite types of lots of content weeks.
It truly screwed me up because having wrestling on Wednesday, I mean on Sunday, made me feel like that was Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so every day this week, I was like, what day is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think like I didn't have quite, but every day this week has actually been Monday to me, which is disgusting.
So, oh my God.
We're all struggling as a result of our favorite hobby that we love to do.
Yeah. And I was a genius and went to the Impact pay-per-view in person on the Saturday because it was in Louisville. But that was a lot of hours of wrestling for 2 days. I have certainly paid for it.
That'll teach exhausted. You to give Impact a try. This is for the Impact fans who joined after the end of last episode.
Actually, like, what would they say?
Impact is the source of all our problems. So jot that down. Just kidding. Only joking.
I had a great time. Impact.
She loves Impact, and we all do. We're all Impact
heads.
Huge
Impact heads. Yeah.
Would you say that it had an impact on you?
Yes, I would say that.
Marjorie, you can cut that.
Yeah, I wouldn't cut it because we want people to know what good jokes she can make. So let's leave it in so they go.
Kind of. And I think showing feet of clay isn't, you know, it's not bad. We wouldn't want people to think that we're funny.
I think we want people to think that. Move on. Nothing to think here. End of thought. So we had our. Do you like? Was that good? Good transition. Whatever. I don't give a shit. So it was Revolution this Sunday. So we're going to do some overall thoughts, and then we will get into the matches and what came out of them on Dynamite this week. So did you guys have any like big thoughts about this pay per view compared to the last few, which were Full Gear and All Out?
I think, didn't we say that Full Gear definitely sort of felt like a like season finale? I don't think that we felt that way with Revolution. Did you guys feel that way?
I did not. No, and I didn't feel that way with like the Dynamite after where, yeah, I felt like after Full Gear, it felt like a real like lots of energy going into new storylines, whereas this felt more like ongoing kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting because I had seen that, well, I don't actually have no idea where Tony Khan said it, but where he was like, we're going to be starting some new storylines at Full Gear, so keep an eye out for that, which is like actually is something I love about wrestling and the way AEW is doing wrestling, where they're like, yeah, it's like our mid-season finale. Like, it's not the finale, but yes, like the back half of the season is going to have some different plots.
We'll have some stuff to think about over Christmas break, so don't worry about it.
Exactly. So I was kind of like keeping that in mind, and I was like, oh, in a like, I can see where some stuff is like going to start growing, but it was in a low key way. It wasn't like Hangman winning the title, where you're just like, yep, that wrapped up an arc, and now we have to find our new Hangman arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's like I was totally enjoying everything that was happening. So, but then I did come out of it feeling more like, oh yeah, like that wasn't. You know, like world changing, but that probably is what it is. It's like, how could you get as big as Hangman winning, basically?
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah. And it's interesting to think that it's like, you don't actually want that all the time.
No.
Because that's
how you
do that
four times a year.
Right. Because that's how you end up with the problem that a lot of TV shows have where it's like the stakes get too high. So actually, you do need to kind of modulate it and be like, you know, you're so gonna
when your characters start a war on God in season 5, but your show goes till season 20, like you really have some problems.
What show could you possibly be talking about?
Could be any show, really.
Yeah, but yeah. So there were a couple things that I did flag in this section. They just won't come out anywhere else. We had we had two Kenny music fakeouts. I think the first one was on purpose.
Do you?
I do, just because I'm like, if it had only been that one, I would have been like, it's not. But because there was another one, I'm like, come on. So there was like a Kenny music fakeout before Chris came out to fight Layla Hirsch. And then there was another one. There was like a real one where it was like playing for a bit, but it was just Don Callis coming out to like shit on Hangman and then be like, you're all like, you, the fans, have destroyed Kenny Omega's body. And I was like, he's right. We're complicit. I'm complicit it's right true. Now because I'm begging for Kenny's broken body to come back and entertain me.
This has nothing to do with that, but I have a problem where my car will start playing the very first file that's on my phone. Yeah. And so because the last thing I downloaded was Kenny's Dave Meltzer interview, it plays every time I start my car. And so like every morning I go, good morning, Kenny. Okay.
That's like your little what's it, three female spies,
Charlie's Angels. I feel like we're playing kind of like a taboo kind of game.
We are. Yes, we are.
Pyramid.
Yes. Anna, who guest starred on this podcast, had that happen in her car for a long time. But it was alphabetical. So it was the first song on her iPhone, which was the A-Team by Ed Sheeran. So that was like a big joke with us where it's like it would come on and we'd just like lose our minds. And now every time I hear that song, I'm just like, this is the dumbest song. Oh my god. Okay, and then also we did have a mid PPV new man introduction in Swerve Strickland. I'm gonna get some new man rating. So all we did was we had just had a little talk with him and we saw him and his body and his vibe. So what's the rating?
Yeah,
ladies?
He didn't even say that much. I'm at a full at least a 9, if not a 10. Oh, like okay. This was a quality new man. Everything about he came out in a suit. He bothered to dress up for us. He looked great.
He looked great.
Super charismatic. Super interesting. Not just a carbon copy of a man I've seen before.
He was seducing me.
Loved it.
I mean.
Yeah.
Plus he taught me his chant already. I love when a man looks me in his eye and tells me. Whose house? Swerve's house. I'm ready. I know the chant now.
It is.
He's
true.
Like, to those of you new to wrestling, like, here's what we say back. All right, great.
It is true. It's like you need that little camp moment with some of these wrestlers. I think don't understand that it's just like if I wasn't here when that became a thing, no worries. But you have to immediately let me know what I got to be doing, and I'm happy. I'll join in. Whose house? Swerve's house. Leah, what's your rating?
I wouldn't say 9. I'm at an 8. He's very cool, but I want to see who he aligns with.
Yeah, because we haven't seen him do anything. He's going to fight Tony Nese on Rampage maybe, and Tony Nese has like only mostly been doing behind the scenes stuff, I think, so we don't
all he's done is sat in the audience.
Did he fought
know why
Sammy,
like...
I think.
Oh, did
he aggressed at Sammy. They fought once, but like 3 or 4 weeks of sitting in the audience and staring at Sammy, which I'm like, Sammy's the least interesting person
to stare at. Sammy,
I immediately wipe my brain
of like watching grass grow. I'm sorry, that's not true, because when he's wrestling, that's the time he's most interesting to look at. I'd give him an 8.2, and it's like that is it's very much based on like we have never, not never, but we rarely have new men introduce themselves in a way that feels so like confident, charismatic. You immediately are like, wow, a sexy hunk with a personality in wrestling.
I think it must have been incredibly rare before, but it's weird that it's happened twice in short time, because that was also our reaction to Keith Lee.
Oh yeah.
But before Keith Lee, when's the last time we instantly liked a new guy? Must have been
like Jake Atlas, if that counts. Like,
oh yeah. Oh, Jake. Oh, yeah. I hope you're feeling better. Oh my god. Jake, you're beautiful. Whatever you hurt. Leg. Jake, beautiful body. Okay, we got to move on. Okay, so we had 3 matches in the PPV pre-show. So it was Layla versus Chris Statlander, which Layla won. Hook versus QT Marshall, which Hook won. And then House of Black, that was Malachi, Bronk, and Buddy, versus Death Triangle, which was Pac and Penta. Ray Phoenix is still out, so they had their featured new man, Eric Redbeard. And then Alex Abrahantes was there in his immaculate getup. So let's get quick another new man rating for Eric Redbeard, who Anne actually completely forgot the existence of between his introduction and his second appearance.
Allie was reading my notes and making fun of me because on Rampage, in the Rampage notes, I was like, oh, I don't like new men. And then in the pay-per-view ones, I was also like, I don't.
I will say to our listeners, like, some I do call out my beautiful co-hosts, like, sometimes with the things they write in their notes. I make so many insane errors when I make these schedules. So never think that you're getting singled out as being an idiot instead of me, because I am the dumbest of us all. So no worries about that. But yeah, Eric Redbeard was fighting with Death Triangle. Rating, go.
2. He gets 1 point for being friends with Brody Lee and 1 point for being very tall. That's okay. It.
He's tall?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice
very
that.
Very tall.
I didn't huge, notice that
huge
either.
Huge man.
Really?
I am giving him a 1, and that point is just for being friends with Brody Lee, and otherwise nothing, because this man feels very carbon copy of other men, new men, because, like, Buddy also is a red beard, large tattoo man. Not into it.
Yeah. Who is it? Let me look at these. Oh, it's Bronk. Bronk and Eric Redbeard have the same, like, beard situation where it's, like, really scruffy, but you think, like, kind of on purpose, you know what I mean? I give him a 3 because I think he seems like a perfectly nice man. Like, sometimes I get, like, rank vibes off of wrestlers, and that's not the case with Eric Redbeard. Like, but I agree that he did not enchant or anything. Don't care about him.
I do like that he gave himself a Viking name. Yeah, that is something.
Again, I'll say, like, for Death Triangle and House of Black to be fighting, it's like, you guys shop at the same Hot Topic. Like, you shouldn't be fighting. Sure. You should be loving each other. Yeah.
Like, they literally, like, just have these parallel men doing parallel things.
And yeah.
I will say, I don't think that Eric Redbeard was signed. I think he was just visiting. So hopefully we will not have to see him.
I think he was just too many men. I think it's like people really wanted that House of Black Death Triangle match, because that was a late addition to the pre-show.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then
I do love Alex Abrahantes' get up every time he's out there, so serious, doing his monk chanting.
What's it called? Like
an incense sensor. Sensor was an amazing touch.
Alex,
it's so stupid looking, and it's beautiful.
It's worth, like, the whole day that I was, like, medium stressed that Alex Abrahantes was going to be like, I'm leaving AEW and only doing QVC. But actually, he just meant that he was going to be a monk. Good for you. Good for you, baby. Okay, let's talk about Eddie and Jericho. So this is the opening match for the PPV. What will I say? I seem to have left myself a lot of notes that have nothing to do with what happened in the match. That's really cool for me. Eddie won this match with a move called the Stretch Plum. It was like the cage side seats woman does. Like, she writes down all the names of the moves, and they're fucking insane. Anyway, this most of this match, Jericho was, like, trying to beat up Eddie's eyes because of his orbital injury. Eddie was just, like, came out immediately swinging. End of the story. Eddie won and extended his hand because Chris Jericho had said, like, if you win, I'll shake your hand and give you the rub, I'm sure. And Chris Jericho refused to shake his hand and just left, seeming, like, pretty salty. What do you guys think about the match?
I was so relieved that Eddie won. That's all I wanted. I thought it was pretty good. It didn't have to be, like, huge for either of them. I was just thrilled that Eddie won. Yeah. Finally got to win a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I also was very happy that Eddie won. I did feel a little bit, like, emotionally just like, oh, like, it didn't feel quite as big to me as, like, an Eddie win could have felt, I think. But
I agree, because it's like, it's Jericho. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, it's like, there is, like, kind of a cap on how excited I can get about Jericho related things. Which I was, like, thinking about whether that was fair today, and I don't know. But I will say...
Are we being fair to Chris Jericho?
Fair to Chris Jericho. Well, I also today was just like, Chris Jericho is a huge star. And there was, like, a galaxy brain moment where I was like, Chris Jericho is a huge wrestling star. He is a very big wrestling star. Just, like, couldn't get there. What did you guys think in the moment? So we're going to get to what happened on Dynamite in a second. But what do you guys think in the moment about Jericho refusing the handshake?
I don't know. I was minorly annoyed. Like, I knew that I knew that Chris Jericho was going to use it to turn heel, that there was going to be something at the end of it. Like, obviously, it's the right thing to do if you want to make Jericho go heel. But at the same time, I was like, Eddie never gets to win. Give him the stupid handshake.
I know. Yeah. Give Eddie some respect. Everyone just comes out here and tells him what a loser he is. And then he beats them and they don't even shake his stupid hand.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though, because for me, commentary framed it as like Eddie is asking for the handshake he wants. Like, he's showing Chris Jericho respect, I think is how they framed it. And then Chris Jericho blew it off. And I was like, no, Eddie is being like, you said that I would get something, so give it to me, which is much more Eddie than being like, I'm giving you respect. So so we'll get into what happened on Dynamite. On Dynamite, Jericho opened the show, apologized for not shaking Eddie's hand, was like, I was just upset. It was actually one of the best nights of my life. It's one of my best matches at AEW. Eddie, please come out. I'll shake your hand. So Eddie came out, and this was really interesting to me because I read something last week. I don't know where it was from, but where Eddie literally, I was like, he just tweeted it out. He was like, doing promos is therapy. Promos are therapy. And I was like, you're the most.
That's why he's the greatest.
You're the most beautiful man on planet Earth. I kiss you on both your cheeks. I kiss you on your beautiful forehead. But he came out and basically was like, you like, it's not a problem for me. Like, yeah, I went through it about this match. I went through it about like whether I could beat you. I did it because like there are people that I've inspired. He did it in Eddie Kingston way, so it's not how I sounded. But but then he said, and Leah, you pointed this out as like the line, and it's right. It's like, what are you missing inside yourself that made you not shake my hand? And it's like, that is what
shivers.
That's the good
wrestling
stuff.
Should be. It's just men saying to other men, like, have you examined your soul?
That's right. That's right.
What is what hole are you trying to fill in your heart?
Oh my god. It's like the only thing I want to see examined in wrestling. How are you damaged and how are you trying to heal yourself? Oh my god. So anyway, he basically accepted Jericho's apology. Jericho shook his hand. He kind of like bowed at Jericho. And then immediate zag where just like really quickly 2.0 and Daniel Garcia came out, attacked both of them. But then it turns out they're on Jericho's side. Jericho, Pride and Prejudice come out to defend Eddie. Jericho attacks them with the bat. Jake Hager comes out. Very funny moment with Jake Hager where it's like he and Chris Jericho are like doing acting for no one about like whether or not they're on the same side. They are. And then Jericho is like, I'm in a new faction called the Jericho Appreciation Society with 2.0 Daniel Garcia and Jake Hager. So what do you think?
I saw someone on Twitter say, we as a society have evolved beyond the need for Jake Hager. And I like laughed so hard.
He brings nothing to the table.
Commentary seemed to also think like we would be in suspense of like whose side Jake Hager would take. And it's like, what do you guys think is happening on the screen?
It's very funny when, because like sometimes like Adam Cole did that during his debut in a way that like really made sense for his character and for the characters of like for everything that was happening that they were doing an on purpose thing that was like, oh, you guys are going to think one thing, but then actually the other. And this felt like they were Jericho and Jake Hager were doing that. And it's like, for no one, you're acting for no one. Nobody cares. No one Nobody was worried Jake that Jake Hager was not going to be on your team. He doesn't do anything else. So like
no brain in that head. Like, why would anyone else take him anywhere?
Oh my god.
Yeah. The fact that Jericho just recreated the Inner Circle or remade one with like still five guys, but now it's called the Jericho Appreciation Society.
I know. And it's like we've come to realize that Pride and Prejudice are perfect and we love them. And they were hidden behind the garbage that is the Inner Circle. I don't want that to happen in 2.0. I already love them. They don't need Jericho.
No. Those are my babies.
It seems crazy. And like, I don't know why Jericho requires four minions at all times. Like,
maybe it's in his contract.
Could it be three? Could it be five? Like, you know, just like.
Yeah. Just like, it is a thing though. The one thing I will say, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm like, this is a hate crime against me personally, because I need to be able to enjoy my son's 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. But I was like, 2.0 are not going to be good minions.
And no, they're not.
No,
I hope to God that they are insane and drive Jericho out of his mind, because they're not going to be like.
That'd be great if they did that. Like, yeah. If this was a different storyline than the Inner Circle storyline, like that actually was in character with everyone.
Yeah, because it would be. Yeah.
It's just so funny to picture like Jericho trying to give them an order and they're like, okay, boss, but what about this? What about this? What about that? Have you considered?
I know. And then there's just the two heads of them talking back and forth at him for like 20 minutes.
There's also like a situation where it's like Daniel Garcia, you can never answer to Chris Jericho before he answers to 2.0. So it's like, I'm just imagining like Chris Jericho being like, Daniel Garcia, go do this. And Daniel Garcia being like, well, I gotta ask my dad.
Chris Jericho's kind of his grand boss. Like, Daniel Garcia is not his direct report, you know?
Exactly.
No, it's, yeah. It's a skip level. Actually.
It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Does he like, it's like he is making some of the salary decisions, but like, you're not gonna go to him with the day to day stuff. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Let's move on to.
I really hope that it's not like a situation where it's just like what has happened to the Men of the Year with Dan Lambert. Like, we just don't need that.
God. We don't need, especially because it's like 2.0 can talk. Like, yeah, I think they need to be thinking a same little thing more with... about who can and can't talk.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. Okay, but let's move on to talking about Hangman and Adam Cole. So this was the Revolution showstopper. As I've said here, they did lots of good punching and hitting. Great. So some of the stuff that was going on in this match, there was some interference. Red Dragon came out and were like not like interfering too much, but were like distracting and letting Cole get some hits in. So Dark Order came out to defend Hangman, which led to a ringside brawl, part of which was like a kind of dazed looking Hangman. Like, he looked kind of out of it, shoving Alex Reynolds away from him when Alex Reynolds was trying to help him. And then I have a little description here. Hangman takes his belt off, the one that holds his pants up, nailed it, Claire, and ties Cole to the top rope by his wrist. I love reading these recaps. I mean, you just can't beat it. So this was the end of the match. Adam Cole got free, got super kicked, and got buckshotted and lost. No title for Adam Cole. Did you guys enjoy the match?
Yeah,
It
was really good. I thought it was fantastic. There was a couple like really good moments where they were like grabbing each other's hair and doing sexy moves.
Thought it was a great match. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really like watching Hangman wrestle, which I was just like, I don't know, there's just something about it. But then our friend Caroline in the group chat said that Hangman has a beautiful moonsault, which is extremely accurate. I was like, oh, that is why I like watching him. Actually, like, you've articulated it.
Yeah, but because I had said like he looks so good doing moonsaults, and she was like, yeah, he's so good at it. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess he is. And one of our other friends was like, do you remember when he was doing those sunset shows outside at Daly's place? So it's like the sun would be setting behind him, and he'd be doing his beautiful moonsault, where it's like, I actually don't know what he does, but he looks like he's suspended in midair as he's coming down. It's kind of like the opposite of Darby's thing, where Darby looks like he's going like so fast it's like unimaginable, and Hangman just looks like he's like floating down like a beautiful leaf. And I was like, oh, I miss those. I want to see that again. So I thought it was a great match. Hangman, well, let's start with Adam Cole, actually. Adam Cole was wearing Halo-themed gear? Am I right about this? That was what's going on?
Yeah. It was Halo, and it was, like, so nerdy. He looked like he got it from, like, some kind of, like, Spirit Halloween store.
It was funny.
He's a very good-looking man, but he really...
He's like, I'll do anything to play it down. Like, good for, like, Britt, that's a perfect boyfriend. He's just, a beautiful man who's a freak who, like, doesn't seem to care at all about looking handsome.
It's like in Freaks and Geeks when James Franco goes to the Dungeons & Dragons game, but then he really likes it. It's like, except if James Franco had never realized he was cool and just had always been at the Dungeons & Dragons game, but it's too good looking to be there. Yeah.
And then Hangman was wearing some gear. Leah, you had the most ideas about this. So I'm gonna hit it.
Well, I mean, I think that there's multiple theories about what's going on with his gear, which is that it's possible that it was Pride, inspired by the Pride flag, because they were in Florida with the hateful bill that's been going on. Then, like, I mean, he has done that, like, sunset colors motif before, so it could have just been, like, Hangman likes looking pretty. But then someone else pointed out that it's the very, like, it's very close to the colors that the Young Bucks were wearing before they turned heel, like the last, yeah, their last face outfit, which on BTE recently, mm-hmm, yeah, at the last episode, had the Young Bucks being confronted with that vest in their locker room,
yeah,
which suggests perhaps there has been some canoodling.
Oh, you think that? So I didn't think that they have been in touch, but I thought that they were mentally in, you know what? Like that Hangman is, yeah, preoccupied with the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks are, yeah, preoccupied with Hangman.
No, I think that there's secret affairs going on.
That's interesting.
Didn't a guy bring it in, though, and say, isn't this your vest? No,
he picked it up off a chair, didn't he?
Someone gave it to them. Someone was like, is this yours? And they were like, that's not ours.
I thought he picked it up off a chair and said, is this yours?
I don't know.
The chair in their locker room.
Well, maybe. I don't know. You might totally be right. I will be actually rip shit if they're secret friends and we didn't see their secret hangouts. I actually will be fucking livid. I don't like that at all. I don't want that to be the case. I want them to be mentally re-entering a space of friendship that we will get to see the nascent stages of. And if it's not that, I'm actually going to be furious. I'm going to lose my fucking mind, actually.
I don't feel that strongly. I'm like into it either way. Like, wow. I've been very awakened by secret assignations.
If they're like secretly hanging out and being friends.
You hate that.
I'm like so mad right now. I'm like, that's fucking repulsive. And I don't get to see the moment where like Matt Jackson makes like a genuine overture to Hangman. And like Hangman is like, I have to decide what to do and what to do with my feelings of friendship that I can't deal with.
I don't think those guys would like bury the lead and have that off screen, though. I think with their like storytelling impulses, I hope.
Oh my God. I don't know. Well, we can't talk about this anymore, actually. Ooh, I'm a little too heated. On Dynamite, Hangman fought Dante and was like really nice to him. And that was a nice brothers moment. That's the end of that. So sweet.
It was nice. It was nice to see Hangman like 2 weeks or two, whatever, like 4 days in a row, because I feel like he has not been wrestling that much in the last few months. So I was psyched to see him again.
Yeah, I was glad to see him again. And I did like his sweet comments to Dante Martin, where he said, you had to do the unthinkable singles press.
For a brother to wrestle without his brother, it's horrible.
It's horrifying. And I was like, you're so right. And we'll get to that later. Brussels? Okay, Allie. Brothers are meant to wrestle together. Brusslers. Guys,
all elite wrestling.
I'm glad you chugged all that wine right before you started.
You know
this
what?
Podcast.
I think it's made me loose. I think it's made me fun. I think it's made me focused. So don't worry about that. Okay. The Tornado Tag Teams match at the PPV. So this was Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express versus Red Dragon. The rules of this match, even now, I'm like, how is this right? Were that anyone can tag in anyone else? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I guess.
So the plot-ish of the match was that Red Dragon and Young Bucks had like clearly a loose, tenuous little agreement about like how they were going to tag and not tag each other in. I'm literally too stupid to understand like what the goal of that,
yeah, what was,
was
the goal, because only one of them can win. Well, so like they were acting very mad at each other for like getting in there when they weren't supposed to, but it's like, but like
I couldn't figure out like what the play, like if you were talking about it, what you would be like, okay, this is how we're gonna play it to like have the upper hand on Jurassic Express. I didn't know. And I didn't, honestly, I kept missing when people tagged other people in. So it was like always like, I don't know who tagged who in. I'm eating onion rings. So I'm like pretty busy. But
it felt like one of those movies where you're watching it and where you're like, at no point does anything that's happened so far make sense, but I'm having a fun anyways.
Oh yeah.
Like, if someone tries to tell you like later is like what happened in the plot, and you're like, oh, it doesn't, it actually did matter. It didn't matter whatsoever.
It's like a heist movie where you're like, I love your energy. For sure. I don't know what the plan is. I can't follow it. Every time you talk about it, it's just like it might as well be in another language.
But it was like a good it was like an Ocean's 11 version, and not like that's what people told me about that latest Nolan, Christopher Nolan one.
Oh,
and that one sucked ass, I'm sorry to say. And like people were like, yeah, you just like, it doesn't matter what the plot is. And I was like, it matters a lot, and this is a bad movie. But Ocean's 11, you're just like, I don't know quite how it worked, but I loved it. So I agree that that was this match. And then anyway, the whatever agreement they had degenerated fairly quickly. So we had some like Matt, Kyle O'Reilly face offs, and then like Nick and Bobby like pulled them away from each other and had their face offs, which like I really like when it's like they're just like, no, let me handle this one. Let me actually, you know what? Let me handle this. And then Jurassic Express won, which like sounds bad, like to just be like whatever, they won, but they did a good job. And then later on BTE, an upset Adam Cole accused the Bucks of not supporting him and of being, I think, bad members of his polycule. So we agree that we enjoyed the match. Any specific highlights or things that we liked?
I'm trying to think of like a specific highlight to mention. Like,
those earrings, those
beautiful— oh my god, that's right.
The earrings, fashion highlights, highlight.
Oh my god, we should talk about the fashion. A, the earrings. B, the facial hair.
Oh yeah. Well, as we said, like, Matt Jackson is yet again playing with gender.
He's a boy.
He was in like boy mode, but like a new version of boy mode. He's like, let's see if they like this, but he was still doing like also some girl mode. I mean, he just is perfect. He's the perfect person. And I realized later because of a Twitter account that like their outfits were like based on a pair of sneakers.
Oh, shocking.
I do think that they like, I think I watched, oh, I listened to that podcast with Melissa Joan Hart, and Matt actively said that like they send Brandon's wife sneakers that they like, and she builds outfits around them.
Oh my god.
It's like the sneakers are so unacceptable, really, but
yeah, apparently he's buying two pairs a week.
Two pairs a week.
Two pairs a week.
You could buy 104 pairs in a year.
I honestly feel vaguely like, I think that's immoral, maybe.
Like, no, it's like, who is getting, like, you have to be getting rid of some of them eventually, Matt. Like, I hope you're giving them to,
if you've worn them wrestlers twice in need or whatever. Wrestlers in need. Just going around to indie promotions, like, handing out $3,000 sneakers.
Holy shit. Our stupid baby boys. Oh my god. And then anyway, on Dynamite, oh shit, Jurassic Express fought the Acclaimed and won. Got a little pube joke in there from Max Caster. Very important stuff. Adam Cole came for Hangman, did a little speech about how like he is not finished with him, he won't be done until he gets the belt. He wants to have a six-man tag next week, and he was doing some like really loaded, like, I've got the perfect team in mind, they live in your head rent-free. Later in the episode, he had a promo with Red Dragon and Young Bucks, where again, he was like doing that thing where he was like, and I'm going to tag with like two guys who like know Hangman better than he knows himself, like just like all this stuff, who know how to throw a party, like stuff where he's doing like Young Bucks, you know, jokes. And Matt Jackson jumps in and is like, again, we will not fight Hangman. So just to be clear, if that's what you're saying, Adam Cole immediately is like so offended and petulant and is like, whatever, I was going to ask Kyle and Bobby, that's who I meant, and just like left. So we've got that little thing going on.
I was honestly really hoping that Adam Cole was going to tag with John Silver and Alex Reynolds, his other secret friends.
I know.
Well, so I'm slightly disappointed.
Fun that he has so many pairs of boyfriends that like you were just like, well, any of them would like be like kind of a big problem, actually. Yeah, right. Good answer.
there's a lot of choices that could upset some people.
Yeah. But then on the Alex Reynolds and John Silver note, we had a Hangman promo where it's like Hangman was talking to the Dark Order and again being like, I'm so sorry. I want to apologize for what happened at the PPV where I shoved Alex Reynolds. Alex Reynolds was there not accepting the apology. Just like
no, looking. His nose was in the air. I know. He was refusing to look at Hangman and he had his nose in the air and he was like, no, I don't forgive you.
He was, yeah, very, it was like Ann Shirley vibes. Then John Silver was like, okay, well, no big deal. Who are you going to choose for your partners? And Hangman was like, well, I ran into Jurassic Express on the way here. And they want to another crack at the Young Bucks because he also thought it was going to be the Young Bucks.
Specifically, he said, which I don't know why this cracked me up so
funny.
Much.
It was funny.
He said, I saw Dino in Jungle Boy in the hallway.
Oh, my God. And then he was like, I got to get out of here. So what is going on? What are they doing with Hangman?
You don't like the secret friendship story. So I would like if it's not that he's secretly like going towards a tweener kind of deal. I don't know what's going on with
him. You think he's moving into heel zone? Bucks in heel zone?
I'm not swearing on anything, but like I feel like there's something going on with him and I would say that he's being unduly poisoned by the worst boys.
Oh, I don't. Well, that would be very interesting to me because I think that the Young Bucks are moving towards face zone. So if Hangman joins them in heel zone, I'm like, I don't know what's going on with anybody because like, I think that that's where they should be moving. I guess what I think is going on is kind of an absolute power corrupts absolutely thing where like I realized in that BTE thing where it's like he apologized to Dark Order and then they left and he was just sitting there looking at the belt. I was like, oh, it would actually be really good for Hangman to have a story arc where it's like the belt was everything to you. It was so important to get the belt, but you need to learn that people are more important than the belt. Like the belt actually doesn't matter. Believing in yourself mattered and doing the work to like do something that you believed in mattered. But at the end of the day, the belt is a belt. It doesn't matter. And the people that you love matter.
I think that's right, actually, because he did post a picture of him, like himself to Instagram this week with a caption to a song that was essentially like, what happens when you get what you wanted and you're still yourself sort of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, if that's what's going on, because we had that talk in the pod about what do you do? What do you do when you get what you want? Like, what is the next stage of the story? When I saw that clip on BTE, I was like, fuck, that is right. That is a good story to be like, I'm the champ. And actually it has nothing to do with having the belt. And I'm going to have to give this belt up eventually because it is less important than the relationships that I formed getting there. It's the friendships we made along the way. Baby, come on. Come on.
No, that's true. That's good. And I feel like Hangman's been like a little bit opaque to me the past few, like since he's won the title, I think. So it is interesting if they do start going in that direction, especially with him being like kind of a dick to the Dark Order.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's like he hasn't been like an aggressive dick, but it is like kind of a relatable thing of being like
just
I'm
like a bad
juggling
friend.
A lot
like,
more than I used to be, and it's hard for me to figure out what the priorities are, and he's not maybe choosing right. And it's interesting to think about like how the Young Bucks will play into that potentially, but
now he's just associating with the other champs,
Dino and Jungle Boy. Exactly.
And the Dark Order are a bunch of losers.
Yeah, they don't have any belts. I don't know. That you know what, it could be, I don't feel like super confident about anything, but that is what I would like to see. That's what I'm voting for. That's what I hope is going on.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the ladder match. So this is our little comedy spot fest at the pay-per-view. So this is OC, Wardlow, Keith Lee, Will Hobbs, Ricky Starks, and Christian Cage. Did I miss anyone?
I think that's it.
That's everyone. This match was so fun.
I laughed the whole way through. I was just giggling like a little kid. It was so good.
Had such a good time every second. Like, and they were, And I don't know, you'd think that, like, we've seen a few ladder matches now, you know, but they were, like, inventing new stuff to do with ladders, and I was laughing.
It's really, ladder matches are about innovation.
Yeah, they're about, like, in what direction? It's kind of like an improv game with props, you know? Like, when OC was hanging off the ladder, like, he had it around his neck, and then they lifted it up, and he was hanging from it, and they flipped on top of it. Loved it.
And when someone pointed out, it's like, he doesn't have to do any little warm-up moves. Like, he just has the core strength to immediately flip himself onto the top of the ladder. I was like, you're right, and I am a little sweaty about it. I do like it. I do like that very much. Thank you for pointing it out.
Yeah.
OC did get injured. He got yeeted a little too hard by Keith Lee and, like, slightly overshot
tiny little porcelain his catchers. Boy.
Yeah. So he is one of many injured. Greg is injured now. Danhausen remains injured. So Best Friends is, like, just like the walking wounded, which I do think is quite funny. And ultimately, Wardlow won the match, as we all thought that he would. And very good crowd response to the win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were loving him.
People are
really into Wardlow, which is delightful. Like, he's barely done any talking, and he's got people on board.
Yeah. And we will very shortly get into the talking that he has done this week on Dynamite. But any other ladder match? I mean, it was just so fun. Like, it's just like, you know, no thoughts, just vibes.
There was a really, somebody on Twitter pointed it out, and it made me so happy. There was a moment where OC was standing in front of Hobbs, Wardlow, and Keith Lee, and Hobbs and Wardlow immediately, like, he started doing the shitty kicks, and Hobbs and Wardlow immediately were like, oh, this fucker again. And Keith Lee was just like, who the fuck is this? And it was, like, just a perfect character moment, because it makes sense. Keith Lee's never, like, dealt with him in AEW before. And so, like, just to have this moment of those two being like, oh god, this guy. And Keith being like, just bewildered, like, why is this happening to me?
I love that.
And then our little trickster got the three of them to accidentally attack each other when he darted out of the way.
He's been getting more into that trickster stuff. Like, I think someday we'll be in a position to have an OC characterization conversation, but it won't be today. But that'll be part of it, is the tricksterism. Okay, let's move on to the big emotional stakes. MJF versus CM Punk. Oh, do you have something, Leah?
No. I was just going to say, I was waiting for you to finish that so I could go, wow.
And you know what? I appreciate that wow. I love it. So we had our BDSM dog collar match. I think it was everything that you could expect a dog collar match to be. Punk won. So the match ended with MJF was in a bad position, wailing for Wardlow to bring out his beautiful diamond ring so he could do violence.
He was screaming like a little boy, yelling, Wardlow, please.
Which I was like, if I had slapped my servant flat across the face last week, like, maybe I wouldn't trust them to bring out my beautiful diamond. Like, I might have, like, chosen my, like, monkey idiot Sean Spears to bring the ring, but that's just me, and I actually don't have any servants, so I guess I wouldn't know. But he was wailing for Wardlow to bring his beautiful diamond ring. The comedy of wrestling sometimes, where you're just like, CM Punk, punch him. Like, just shut it down, dude. Wardlow, who had earlier won the ladder match, so he's, like, riding high, came out in a beautifully tailored suit, did a whole bit where he's standing at the ringside, kind of searching his pockets like, I don't know where the ring could possibly be. And then MJF kind of, like, cave. I don't know what happened, but he was like, I guess you don't have the ring. And then Wardlow was like, oh, no, it's right here, and put it down in the ring for CM Punk, who used it to knock MJF out. That was the end of the match. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I had kind of guessed that the ending might be that way with Wardlow, like, helping to get, but it was just, like, perfectly executed, I thought, because it was, like, you know, maybe it could have been a little bit predictable, but it was just, like, the searching of the pockets, I don't know, the whole hammy thing.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Wardlow did such a good job with it. Like, I think it could have been, like, not, like, it was hammy, but, like, it could have been, like, annoyingly hammy, but instead it was just delightfully hammy.
Yeah, it was the perfect degree of it.
I think in our last pod, I had moved into where I was like, I don't know if I want Wardlow to be involved. Like, I just, like, felt really unsure about it. And I was convinced by it as it happened. I was like, you know what? You're right. Sometimes, like, the way that seems right is the way that's right. It is, it all adds up. It was right to have him win earlier in the night. And then, like, so he's, like, in the moment of being, like, I can do it on my own. Like, I am free Wardlow. Yeah. I have to, like, be my own man. That all added up. The one thing, and this is, like, I think it's, like, a thing where I'm, like, I am not aligned with wrestling on it, is that I was, like, CM Punk, don't use that ring. Don't use the evil ring unless you are becoming. I was like a one ring mentality where I was like, you don't need the evil tool to win. Mm. You just need him to not have the evil tool. And I think wrestling often to me is like, that's not right. Just use the evil tool. If you're good, it's fine. So that was a disagreement. That's a disagreement. It's a philosophical disagreement that we have. But it's not world ending. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And I do wonder, like, if CM Punk was just making some very psycho faces all bloody, and it might just be psycho faces, but it is a little bit like, is he sort of getting dragged down by MJF into a more evil dude place again, as like a recovering evil dude, clearly? Like, is this propelling him out of sobriety?
Oh my god, into MJF has dragged him off the wagon. What is it that that's like that oh my god, I can't even get into it. Okay, go on.
Oh, that was pretty much it. It's just very intriguing to me that if CM Punk's been giving MJF all these talks about how, like, you don't have to be this way. I know, because I used to be like you, and now I'm good again, you know, like, and then if in the end MJF actually, even though CM Punk was the one who won, if MJF has succeeded in bringing out CM Punk's bad side, that would be very electrifying to me.
And you know what? That's Shakespearean, so it's what should happen. I mean, it's like that's the mode we're in for this feud, which is perfect. I do, this is not related to this, but I have to tell you guys that I saw a gift set of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet the other day, and I like immediately was just like, Anne was right. Someone must make the movie where it's a Shakespeare, but their wrestlers are playing it, and it should be Baz Luhrmann. And I can't believe he doesn't know this. And I have to get in touch with him somehow and like tell him like, this is what you should be doing.
I feel like I need to like go like watch a bunch of Shakespeare plays and think about the soliloquies in like a delivering them to a wrestling audience sense, because I feel like that's going to really like make me understand Shakespeare better.
It
you know?
Will, because of like I've been noticing like the moments where it's the Young Bucks are really good at this. But like when someone is good at like being a wrestling character, but also like interacting with the audience, it's like that thing where they like look at the audience and it's like, should I do the bad thing? Well, I'm gonna like, I gotta do the bad thing.
Just that, like, you're in it with me, like we're co-conspirators, you and me.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
Yeah,
but yeah, I agree with you. I think that, and Punk did the pre-pay-per-view promo where he was like, again, was quoting some Ring of Honor stuff and basically being like, you want the beast is coming out to meet you at the fight. And he did. So I agree that I wouldn't be surprised if Punk is like starting to go down his dark road, in which case, like, but I just think that often, like, I think it's meaningful if someone uses the evil thing, and that like wrestling is like, no, that wasn't it. That's not the issue. And I'm like, it actually means like when Frodo put on the ring, even he became that. Like, makes you think, come on.
Yeah. Well, and it is, it's like using the ring is cheating, it's regardless cheating. Of whether it's an evil ring intrinsically. Yeah. So,
and you don't need it because you have him at your mercy. That was the only thing that could have saved him. You could have beaten him anyway.
Yeah but yeah, I'm not predicting, to be clear, that they're gonna do this, but I would like it if they would.
I agree. And then on Dynamite, Wardlow had a little Tony Schiavone interview where he like really worked hard at his little promo where he's like, I had to work for MJF, but I can be my own man now. And he's still whatever. He's still under contract with MJF, but he's like, I want the TNT championship. I want an AEW contract. I want to be free. I want to be my own boy. And he said, we're all living in Wardlow's world.
Someone brought it today, that whole like, Wardlow took a terrible job because he was poor, but now he's using the Great Resignation to get a better job, which I think is so funny.
Yeah, that was my line, and
I said someone said it. I just couldn't remember.
Okay, well, I don't know if you know that someone's name, and maybe you got it from my notes, Anne.
Could it be be your own co-host? No, but I think you are right that it's very topical. Wardlow's situation is extremely topical. He says, I was put in a bad situation, but I have decided that I value myself and I rise above it. And good for him. And we had thought he wants that TNT championship. So it's kind of like, okay, well, maybe he will get it immediately. Let's move on to the next plot. So Sting, Darby, and Sammy Guevara had their feud or their match versus the AHFO at PPV. I almost said at Private Party. Doing really good. Just powering through. So it started, they had like kind of a three-way title match on Rampage where like Darby and Sammy had kind of a relationship, such as it is, breakdown because Sammy was just like, I don't care. I just want to win.
It was like the same thing as like the Young Bucks Red Dragon Alliance where it's like, yeah, you guys can't be on the same team because it's a three ways. It's you can't.
Yeah, but except that like they didn't even have an Adam Cole figure to be like, we're trying to keep it together for you, our lover. Like they didn't have anything like that. Right. So they had
They were just united by their pillarhood.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. We're both pillars. And then Sammy was like, I don't give a shit. And then at the pay-per-view, this was like the big spot match where it was like so many broken tables from a crazy. Very high like heights, like not even worth getting into. Sting broke a ton of tables, blah, 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 blah. Oh,
I got concerned for Sting. I mean, good for him. That man is 62 years old. Like,
I know.
Unbelievable.
It actually set me into a spiral where I was like, the thing is that like all this time, AEW has been doing the thing where like men need fathers. Every man needs a father. We'll assign each man their father. But actually, the fathers are being influenced by the sons. Mm-hmm. Sting is doing his crazy shit. You could kind of say that like MJF influencing CM Punk to be a little darker. You've got Hook fighting with his mentor QT. You've got, I know we're going to talk
it's
about it.
It's so
but...
unfair to present QT as Hook's father. Yeah. No.
Disgusting. Technically correct, I guess.
But I was full Pepe Silving this earlier where I was like, no, it's not just about the fathers mentoring the sons. It's also about the sons.
Well, you're right, because
as you say that, it's like, yeah, that's the Greek gods like killing the Titans, their fathers, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love my father and I must murder him.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, we all in this world, we all are shaped by each other. Like you, your parents were changed because of you.
Right. Like they try to be somebody for you, but you are someone for them as well. And it's actually really powerful.
It's really beautiful. And actually this is tied to, it's like Tony Khan is like, we have all these wrestlers, old wrestlers coming to AEW where it's like, this is the place where like, perhaps you can like have the moment at the end of your career that feels like right to you and doesn't feel like bad. And like, but at the same time, like it becomes deeper than you thought it would be. Like, I'm singing in my head. I was like, what is going on? I'm singing Wicked because I knew you. I have been changed for good.
No, I feel that because when I was going through this thing, I was like singing, what is the Crosby, Stills, Nash song where it's like, parents teach your children well. Oh, and then the second stanza, it turns around and it's like, children teach your parents well.
Oh my God. Wow. I really see myself going down like a print. Like, I'm going to be like sobbing after this podcast because I'm just going to be looking up like songs about father. I'm going to be listening to like, That's My Father in the Water, which I believe you know I like love to cry to. So this is going to be good for all of this. This is fine. Okay. Leah, say your thing about Sammy and Darby because we got to get that's kind of our brand. So get that out there.
Oh, that was it.
What? No.
That was
you didn't say it.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the observation I told you I was going to make, and it was that.
Oh, no.
No, that Sammy and Darby are just Quinn and Daria so from funny. Daria.
So right. When I read that, it was like a full like scream. I have to take a lap where I'm just like, that is absolutely correct. But I think it was mean of you to say it because I'm like, what if I accidentally like Sammy now that I'm thinking of him as Quinn?
I know.
Well, like every time the two of them run out together and Sammy's got that big like normie grin on his face and Darby's like a little Hot Topic boy, yeah. It's just like, oh,
we're
boy.
Like Sammy's, I know. Like, this is great. Everybody's watching us and that's so fun. And Darby's like, I'm just here and I've got to do my wrestling and then I got to go backstage.
I wish that Sammy would weaponize his like attitude more and yeah. like use it like the way Max Caster uses his bad yeah. attitude against people. Like if yeah. Sammy like trapped like Darby and at the mall doing yeah. this vlog, like that's amazing. What I would like.
Sammy could be. I yeah. mean, it's like I think
Sammy's not doing anything no. that he could be doing.
We have to be really clear. Sammy could be a very rich character and like actually could enchant me quite easily without changing that much of his. Vibe yeah. he just has to know like who he is, you know what I mean, like
yeah
it's not
right if he was like I'm science. The cocky annoying guy who like yeah corners people and like the cool jock that everyone resents or you know yeah. something like that, like yeah you could get some interesting interactions, but he's never interacting with anybody in an interesting
I just need
way.
To know that like I need to see a couple of moments where Sammy is like I am discomforted by what's happening, I don't like yeah. this situation exactly. And also I need to feel like I could like ask Sammy like what's your Achilles heel. And that he would know what it was, even if he didn't want to tell me. So, Sammy, no. if you're listening, it's that easy, baby. It's that easy. Go talk to Eddie Kingston about therapy. We can get this whole thing sorted out. I could be your biggest fan. I could be your super fan, baby. Okay. And then on Dynamite, this is all just related because they were all in this match. It's an absolute mess. And, you know, this is going to be a long episode. So, I'm sorry. But on Dynamite... The AHFO took a vote on whether to get rid of Matt Hardy, and mid-vote, Private Party, they did like kind of a John McCain. That's all I could think of. Oh my god. That's like instead of Gladiator now, I'm like, is John McCain doing Gladiator? Fine.
Yeah.
They mid-vote, thumbs went down. They said get rid of him. The bunny was not present, so canonically women can't vote at AEW. So everybody send Tony Khan an email about that.
Pre-1920 in AEW.
And then during the ensuing like beatdown where Andrade was like beating up Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy debuted and danced phenomenally.
I think it might be his okay to be none of us are Hardy heads
not
before.
At all. Now we are, yeah, actually. Now
oh my god, Hardy heads. Speak for yourselves.
Some of us
all
are.
Three of us are huge Hardy
no,
heads.
No,
I think it's his I think it's like a thing that he does all the time.
It's
I've
insane.
Never seen him do it
that
before.
That makes it worse.
It's crazy. It was absolute freak
it's
zone dancing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like the craziest thing that I've ever seen. I enjoyed it so much.
I was laughing oh out loud. God. Anyway, he got in the ring. He, you know, got everybody away from his brother, Matt. And then they shared a brotherly embrace. AEW is four brothers. It is four brothers.
Wrestlers.
Yeah. For wrestlers. Yeah. They embraced. Matt Hardy looked genuinely moved. Later, what did he say in that tweet? He was like, I think people don't know how much we need each other.
Yes.
So it's sweet.
Like, is that why I hated Matt Hardy so much? Because he was only half a person.
He needed to.
I didn't
know. The unthinkable
know.
Had happened to him.
The unthinkable. He was forced to wrestle as a single dresser.
Oh my god.
No.
To think we were so cruel to him while he was the unthinkable.
He was persevering and we had no idea.
Oh my god. In my head now, also singing a song. Let's not get into it. Don't worry about that. Absolutely.
I have never been more shocked and horrified than today when you guys revealed that you were huge Matt and Jeff Hardy heads. You know, and I was like, I did not like this new man.
I can't, not into I can't it. Explain what happened to me as like, it's like, I hate Matt Hardy so much.
Yeah.
But the second that his brother was present, I was like, you needed your brother. That's so
You're
good
like, oh,
for
look,
you guys.
It's a second Matt Hardy and he has neck tattoos. Now I like
his
it.
His brother was being held captive by a cult and Matt rescued him. And now they're together the way they're meant to be. The Hardy Boys.
We didn't watch, Allie didn't watch Dynamite with us because she was busy this week. And so I was alone in my Jeff Hardy hood. And so I was like keeping kind of a lid on it because nobody was encouraging me or just discussing with me at all. And it was in fact like openly scoring me. And I was like,
we were all politely trying to ignore what we were
I didn't realize that I had, I'm behind on our group chat situation. So I didn't know that I was giving you what you needed so freely. I immediately was just like, I love Jeff Hardy.
Oh my god, I did not see it coming, not for a single second.
So happy.
I love this for us. It can only be good. Oh my god. Okay, and then later in the episode, Scorpio Sky won the TNT belt from Sammy Guevara, so he now is the TNT champion. Did not see it coming at all.
No. I was so surprised.
This was a success. Well, I guess I can't say it's successful until I see what happens next week, but it feels like a successful zag because I was like, of course he's going to lose because Wardlow's going to win it next week. Why would they have gone through the entire ladder match if Wardlow's not going to like win next week? And I was like, oh, well, this is happening. So either Scorpio is going to be a 1 week winner, which would be weird and interesting, right, yeah. or Wardlow's going to lose next week. And if he loses next week, is it because of MJF? Like, does MJF revenge? I don't know. It was an interesting zag.
It was an interesting zag, and it's not one that I... Yeah, go ahead, Ann.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say anything very interesting. Just, yeah, it was, like, so weird, especially right after the pay-per-view. It just felt like, oh, I didn't think anybody was actually going to, like, lose a belt this week. And then, yeah. And then it was like, I would be so psyched that Sammy's not the TNT champion and Scorpio is, except that Scorpio is with Dan Lambert now. So that's a real, like, monkey's paw situation.
And they're in a whole, that was, well, we'll get into this in a minute, the paid fans and stuff. But, yeah, I think... I thought it was a good zag in that I was like, oh, you know what? I don't mind if Wardlow, if in the next part of Wardlow's story, he has a little bit more of an uphill climb to like get what he wants. I don't mind that. He did such a slow burn and he literally just got free of his emotional captor.
Yeah.
And economic.
That's true.
Sorry.
And honestly,
his
capital. I wouldn't mind either. I wouldn't mind either if Scorpio did have just like a 1 week, like, because in AEW, you know, the champs like tend to be the champ for quite a while. So like if they did a rapid turnover, like just to change the pace a little bit, like that'd be okay.
1 week would be really tight for me. I don't know. I don't have any strong feelings.
Just like shake it up. Like, make me feel like anybody could lose the title belt at any time. You know,
it's one of those things they couldn't do it a lot. Like they would only get to do this like once every 5 years. But
and they did just do that like Cody, like the Cody Sammy like 1 week turnaround thing where I'm like, maybe now is not the time to follow it up.
Yeah.
But I did read that the Fightful reportage was that like nothing that's happened with the TNT belts has not been planned, and that like the Cody thing was only like a 1 week disruption, which I was like, well, that is interesting to me. So Tony really running the tight ship over there.
Cody, who we still get to see every week when Dynamite finishes up, and it goes straight into the Go Big Show. The most awkward transition ever.
Oh my god. I love still, I gotta check in on the recent Cody news. I mean, there hasn't been any, but okay, we can't get into it. Ty Conti and Jade also had a match at the pay-per-view. Jade is doing a new gimmick where she does the kiss of death. So at the beginning of a match, she kisses a woman. So that happened at the pay-per-view, and then Jade ended up winning the match. And then on Dynamite this week, she did a promo. All I've written here is the promo is basically like, come get kissed. I hope that's right. And that Ty Conti was ringside with Sammy Guevara because she is now his kayfabe girlfriend as well as his real life girlfriend. And crazy. She, during the Sammy Scorpio Sky match, had an altercation with Paige VanZant, who was ringside because Paige VanZant is aligned with Dan Lambert, who's aligned with Scorpio Sky. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you think about any of that?
I love the kissing gimmick. Like, I love Jade bringing in something that's getting, you know, that I'll enjoy.
I think people should kiss. I actually don't. I'm like, this is not exactly the kind of kissing that I want.
No.
But I guess
I love that we've got kissing in the mix, you know?
I do think people should be kissing each other. That much I will say. I do want to see kissing. I want kissing to come from a place of intense emotion where you cannot express your feelings except to get as close to that other wrestler as you possibly can. And somehow that's kissing. Taunting kissing is simply not emotionally as interesting to me. I will say that. But Jade, kiss the women. Go crazy, I guess. I'll watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been reading like a lot of like takes on it, and like there's people that like hate it a lot, and there's people that are like super 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 into it, and I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle where I'm like, let her try stuff.
She can try it. Yeah,
she can try it. I think she's doing great. And like, I mean, she like the look on Ty Conti's face when she got kissed cracked me up enough that I was like, no, I like this. I think it's funny.
I think, yeah, for now. Yeah, I agree. I think like, oh, I think it's my same thing as always where I'm like, I want there to be like an underlying narrative of the person where I'm like, this is the person that you are and this is what you're up to, and I don't feel like fully convinced about it, but you know what, kiss in the meantime, kiss the women, give it a try, and perhaps weeks from now I'll come back and say absolutely not, or I'll say absolutely yes. Continue to kiss.
I think anything that shows that Jade is like trying things and getting out there and like playing with the character a little bit, mm-hmm, is definitely positive. So
that's true.
Yeah. But agreed. We'll see where it goes.
We will see. As always, we'll see where it goes. That's it. Yeah. Okay. And then this was the big zag of the pay-per-view. Thunder Rosa and Britt had their match. There was a lot of interference. So we had, I think, multiple like pins and tap outs where Thunder Rosa would have won, but didn't because Reba and Jamie Hayter were ringside distracting the ref. And Mercedes Martinez, who we might have expected to come save Thunder Rosa, was nowhere to be seen.
Brass City let us all down.
We actually hate the Brass City.
Not
now.
Reliable.
We don't hate her. We give her a chance to explain her actions.
We do want to hear her.
She might do so.
We want to hear her explain herself. So ultimately, Thunder Rosa lost. This was a zag, but I had said at this point, yeah, in the match, in the pay-per-view, I was like, we haven't had a single zag. And that was the one thing that made me be like, I don't know, maybe she is going to lose. And she did. So this week, Thunder Rosa fought Layla Hirsch on Dynamite for another title match shot. Is that, that's right? Mm.
It's like a women's eliminator or whatever. So whoever won got the
great
title match.
It's like four plot reasons. And yeah, then, so she and Britt are going to have a cage match, no ringside interference in San Antonio, Thunder Rosa's hometown. Is that next week or the week after?
Yeah.
Next week.
It's next week.
Mm-hmm. How are you guys feeling about the whole situation?
Pretty bummed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was really looking forward to this because I loved last year's St. Patrick's Day match. I thought the match itself was a very typical Brit match. You know, like, I feel like we've seen that match 600 times and it was like not, I don't know. It was, and then to have just a rematch next week, it just feels like, I'm like, why did they do this then? Like, they should have done like Jamie Hayter and Mercedes Martinez at the pay-per-view and had that be like the build up to, if they wanted to make the big match.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I think that I like that a lot. I think that would have been a good idea. Yeah, I don't know. I think I am really excited about having a women's cage match, especially like, I know we've said like it is time for Britt to lose the title. It's time to like cycle the other women in and like get them some more like space to breathe and have their own storylines. But because Britt and Thunder Rosa had that really successful lights out match, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for you guys to do a really good cage match. And if you do, I think it like probably it will electrify me. So I think my feelings are a little bit on pause where I'm like, all right, well, show me the cage match now. And then I'll know how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like I had a hard time just like emotionally processing this one. Like when it happened, and the pay-per-view always moves so fast too, but like when it happened, you're just kind of, I was like, oh, and then, and like, I feel like I still haven't quite like landed on how I feel about it.
Because I do like, I think it's difficult because I'm like, I do appreciate, like, I don't want to always know what's going to happen, even though I love to say that I mm-hmm. know what's going to happen. I don't want to. And so I do want you to zag me sometimes, but it's harder. Like, I don't know. It's harder with the women's storylines just because it's like they are less robust. They have less setup. Like, it just feels like I have less of an ability to be like, oh, I'm going to grapple with like why I think it might have happened this way instead of this way. Like, I just have less information. So it feels more random.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
I am very psyched for the cage match, though. I hope it's good. If it's good, it'll redeem some of that, I think. But
it's true that I was not amped for the Hangman Danielson rematch. And then in the end, I ended up being happy that it happened. So catch me next week. Just being blatantly being like, I always was excited for this.
Honestly, I think like probably something that is good for me about wrestling is it's like, I love to think I know how I feel, but like, wrestling, a lot of times I'm like, okay, I'm trying to give myself permission to enjoy something that I didn't think that I would enjoy. And then like, it is really like fun to be like, okay, you talked me around. You did a good job with it. So
it's just like life, you know, the meaning of events changes as new things happen. It's true. Like what you thought happened a year ago now with what happened after it.
Right. We didn't know that we would be huge Jeff Hardy heads. And here we are.
Sometimes you learn new things about your friends. They reveal parts of themselves you didn't know were there. Yeah, and then you have to grapple with that.
New things about themselves. Okay. It's called self-discovery. You know what? This has been a philosophical episode in many ways. Well, this is our last topic. And it is the Mox Danielson match. So Mox and Danielson had like a really classic back to basics, angry boy brawl. The terms of the match basically were that Mox was like, we have to bleed. So I thought it was fun. They didn't start bleeding however they did it for a while, which was like kind of a fun like thing to be like, I know there's got to be blood.
There will be blood.
There was a great moment in the match where Mox had like begun bleeding and there's like a shot of his back and there was just like one rivulet of blood like snaking its way down his spine, and I was like, I hope someone got a good photo of that because that is art. But Mox won. Danielson was like mad about it, which we can get into. So they started brawling again, and then they were interrupted by apparently their shared father lover, William Regal, who worked with both of them at WWE, who slapped both of them right across their beautiful boy faces and said, shape up and fly right, and made them shake hands.
We got to see the father lover candidates just become lover sons in front of us.
And it did make me think. I said, every son has a father. Every father has a father. Is that what I think? I thought I had somewhere kind of to go, but it turned out that in my head I was just singing that Sound of Music song, nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever. It's actually unrelated to father and son. Let's move on. Next person talking.
I loved William Regal being like, you know what my gimmick's going to be? I knew nothing about this man until he walks out. He's in a beautiful three-piece suit. He's standing very straight. His name is William Regal.
Yeah, it's right there.
He has the poshest accent I've ever heard in my life. It's like,
which I don't, we
you know
didn't
what,
hear
when he's like,
we heard on
no, we didn't, but hear, no, but the
you're, it's like you could basically see it.
Yeah, you could basically see it. And I was like, everything about this man is communicating to me who he is. I love thinking about him being like, you know what? This is what I'm going to be like. And my name's going to be Regal. Is it subtle? No. Is wrestling subtle?
No.
No, it shouldn't be.
No. I agree. I thought immediately, I'm like getting the vibes from the character. And then he did a long little kind of get to know you promo on Dynamite this week. And I'm like, I don't know, obsessed with it.
It seemed like it was going to be a normal promo. And then all of a sudden he and Tony Schiavone are like both crying. Bryan Danielson is crying.
God, like, the energy he was bringing to Tony Schiavone. I was like, he's a married man, William. And I believe you are too, as I learned from Googling. Yeah. But this is pretty intense. Like, you guys have shared something.
Yeah, he was touching him so like kind of aggressively right off the bat that I almost thought there was going to be like a heel turn where he was going to like attack Tony Schiavone, and then it was like, oh no, he just really loves him that much.
Like, yeah, and Tony was like giggling and blushing. Like Tony was into it. He was like, yes, please. Usually everyone's so mean to me. Please flirt with me. This is better.
That's true. I mean, this is the first kindness Tony Schiavone has had in a long time.
He's never known kindness.
He's so easy to seduce. He's never known kindness. Yeah, I mean, I loved it, honestly. What did you guys think about the whole Mox Danielson? Like, we wanted that outcome. Did you feel good about the match?
I liked the match. It was very, I was like, these two are not failing a test of sexual chemistry. Like, they were all over each other in very visceral ways that I really enjoyed watching.
It's quite visceral, wasn't it? Yeah, I agree. I think I'm going through it a little bit because I have been opposed to Mox Danielson, but it's happening. I understand that. And I want to.
Well, their dad put them in a sexual get along shirt and made them shake
hands. Their
dad
said, now kiss to seal the deal. Right. So I understand. I'm like, William Regal, I want to do what you want me to do. And I want to love these men being together. And I want to root for them becoming fathers under your grandfatherly tutelage. But I did think that it was repulsive that Bryan Danielson was not impressed with Mox for beating him. Mm. Like, what I wanted out of these men was the moment where Danielson was like, to be beaten by you is an honor.
Yeah, right. Yes, yeah,
and the fact true. That he got mad and they started brawling, I was like, that's gross. And you are a bad person.
Yeah, well, it was honestly like weird going into the match because I was like, so what are the stakes of this match? Like, if who wins, then they have to tag together. Like, what's the situation? You know, and it was very
unclear.
And
I think that the actual thing, what it should have been was like, if you respect me at the end of the match, then you'll be my tag partner. And it's like, it's not really about winning or losing. It's about how you play the game. And right. At the end of the day, even though I loved William Regal coming out and I loved them being in their kissing sexual get-along shirt and all of that, I was like, you should have shown me that you respected each other. And I don't think that a man should have had to tell you that you respected each other after you grappled with each other's bodies in that way.
It's true.
And that's just my opinion.
Makes some good points.
Have you guys dug into William Regal at all? Have you?
I knew
gotten
that,
into any of
I knew like a little bit about like he did booking for WWE and like I don't know.
Yeah,
I that's all I know.
Apparently, I have not gotten into this too deeply. Apparently, he and Mox have quite the past.
Because they
have not always. It's not always been a father-son relationship. It is apparently has been quite hate sexy.
Wow. Okay. Well, I love that. And that was like part of his promo, right? Was being like, "This is Brian." What was the tweet that was like, "This is Bryan Danielson, my beautiful like purebred dog," and like, "This is Mox, like my dog I found in a trash can." So whoever wrote that tweet, sorry to plagiarize you, but it was very funny.
It was very,
very funny.
Yeah. Well, I'll be interested to see what goes on. They fought JD Drake and a man I didn't know this week on Dynamite.
Yeah, it was Anthony Henry, which I think he's been on Dark, but I only liked it because they apparently have a tag team name of the Workhorsemen, which I guess is just a play on the Wingmen. That's very funny
because I heard that from commentary and like literally just was like, are they talking about Mox and Danielson? Okay, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. I was so confused. Okay, guys, we have gone so over, but we deserved it because I thought we had a great conversation. Yeah. And
we did. We got very deep.
We got very deep. We got philosophical. Did. We're hearty girls, as you said, Leah. We're hearty girls now. Some of us. And some
66%
of
us.
Perhaps to get there in time, you know?
The devil's number, 66.6% of us.
So if anyone has some great hearty content, I'm just kidding.
But oh my God.
I do have to go. I am now. Now is the moment probably when I will go and watch some of the old Young Bucks, Hardy Boys ladder matches that are supposed to be iconic, but I have never seen. So I'll probably watch them now and I'll let you know. Okay. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and all social media sites at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back